The Reverend Dr. John Bechtel had grown up as the son of missionaries in China. Before moving to Hong Kong and becoming a missionary himself in sometime in the 1960s. But in 1973, God had given John Bechtel a vision to start a camp and a conference center to introduce these young people, many of whom were orphaned in China, in introducing them to Christ there in Hong Kong. And as he was searching for an appropriate location, John was contacted by another Christian organization that was ready to close down a 250-bed orphanage nearby that had been constructed by that organization for $1.25 million. The board of directors of the orphanage, hearing that John Bechtel was looking for a place, offered to sell him this property for a fraction of the cost, for only $240,000. But John didn't have the money. $240,000 in 1973 was the equivalent to over 10 years of a typical salary, annual salary. But it wasn't long after that Billy Graham, the evangelist and an associate of his named Walter Malone, visited Hong Kong and met with John Bechtel. And when John told Walter about the opportunity, Walter said, "Well, that's not much money. When I go back to the States, I'll go on a preaching circuit and I'll raise money for you. I'll solicit the churches and the people." Well, John was all excited about this, but several months later, he received a letter from Walter apologizing that his efforts to raise money had been a complete failure. Even though he had solicited contributions from many churches around the country. But enclosed with Walter's letter, however, was a letter that he had sent on to John from a 12-year-old girl in Orlando, Florida. So John, very discouraged, opened up the letter, which read, "Dear Reverend Bechtel, I heard about the camp that you're trying to start, so I saved up my ice cream money for 2 weeks. Use this dollar to buy the camp. Sincerely, Belinda Holmes." And enclosed in the envelope was a single $1 bill. John was even more discouraged. After praying about it and discussing it with his wife said, "The young girl told you to use the dollar. I think you need to use the dollar." So John went to the orphanage and met with the manager. And the manager asked him, "Are you ready to buy the property?" And John said, "Yes, I am." And the manager said, "Do you have the money in the bank?" And John responded, "No, I have it in my pocket." And John pulled out the $1 bill and handed it to the man. He said, "This is my offer." And the man laughed at him. And he said, "No, I want you to read the letter that came with his dollar. Take the dollar and the letter to the board of directors and see if they'll accept the offer." Well, John soon got a call from the orphanage manager saying, "The board liked the faith they saw, and they're willing to accept the offer." So for a $1 donation of a 12-year-old girl, the camp was purchased. And some 42 years later, John Bechtel says that they have hosted over 1.2 million camping days for young Chinese people, with well over 100,000 conversions to Christ having taken place, all because of a child's offering. It is the apparent insignificance of a child's offering which serves to powerfully illustrate what God is able to do with the small things, with the weak things, with the lesser things, when offered up in faith and in obedience. In this morning's gospel lesson from John chapter 6, we read the the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. We see this truth at work in the ministry of Jesus. And John, there in chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, says that Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and it was near the feast of the Passover. And it says in verse 5, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. In other words, Philip was saying, even if we had a whole year's salary, it wouldn't be enough to buy a sufficient meal for these people. Look at them, Jesus. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? So Philip and Andrew both, seeing the impossibility of the situation, expressed a lack of faith. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And we got to remember that they counted the men, the 5,000 men. So the women and children were not counted among those. We can speculate that there was probably a good 10,000 people, a stadium full of people to feed. And Jesus took the loaves. He took the loaves from that little boy, that young man. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise to the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. They were leftovers. St. Theophylact, the great Orthodox biblical commentator, tells us that these fragments remain, that Jesus supplied even in excess to show that the people didn't just take a little bit, but that they had been filled, they had been completely satiated with these 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and the 12 baskets full. St. Theophylact says that each of the apostles carried with them out of there in remembrance of this miracle. Jesus, as the divine Son of God, as him who created all things out of nothing, certainly could have created out of nothing the food that was required to feed this mass of people. But instead, he used what was already present in the created order. And in this case, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes of a young boy. It is by the simple offering of a child by which Jesus chose to reveal his divine power. A child's offering given in faith and obedience by which our Lord accomplished a mighty and miraculous work. It is from a child's offering that we encounter the reality of a sacramental and Eucharistic life of grace, of God using the seemingly trivial things, the small things that we may have to offer to reveal his glory. The feeding of the 5,000 itself represents an icon of the Eucharist, of Christ receiving the simple offering of bread, of blessing it before the Father and giving it to his disciples, who would be the apostles of the church, who would then distribute those gifts to the people who were present, the people then receiving it, not as a ration morsel, but in a miraculous abundance and fulfillment of what God himself had multiplied and transformed for the benefit of the people. A child's offering. A child's offering of simple faith and obedience serves as the seeds for the wondrous and miraculous and glorious things our Lord chooses to do in the seemingly small and insignificant things of this life. Common bread and wine offered by the faithful and offered up by our Lord in thanksgiving to the Father, that by the work of the Holy Spirit becomes none other than the holy body and the precious shed blood of Christ, that when received by the people with the eyes and heart of faith, brings fulfillment, brings salvation, and the healing of our fractured souls. With only 2 weeks left in the season of Great Lent, with the continuation of our spiritual disciplines of fasting and intense prayer and almsgiving, we are confronted with this wondrous truth of a child's offering that lies at the very heart of a Eucharistic life of grace and thanksgiving. A child's offering speaks of a certain stewardship to which we have all been called, not only in terms of giving our money as an offering, but in terms of giving our very lives in sacrificial and faithful obedience to our Lord and trusting God even in the small things of our lives. In this stewardship, a child's offering represents our need for humility and trust and obedience, believing that what we have, no matter how seemingly insignificant, belongs to God and is offered up to God in anticipation that mighty and wondrous things will happen for his kingdom. And yet, in our adult sophistication and rationality and the often incredible demands and pressures of life, we often lose such childlike faith. We tend to focus instead on the things that we don't have to offer, on our own lacking, on our own spiritual deficiencies, on our own need to get things done, on our own sinfulness and brokenness. And we as a result fail to make a child's offering. So we go down the road thinking, who am I? What worthiness do I have? What do I have to offer? I can't teach or preach. I don't have that much money or resources. I don't possess much in the way of spiritual gifts or talents. I just don't have the time in my busy schedule. But we need to know that each and every one of us possesses 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We each possess particular and certain gifts and graces and provisions of this life in the midst of the great needs that are all around us, in the midst of the lost and dying world that is hungry for the spiritual sustenance so needed within their own souls, the need to encounter Jesus Christ in their own lives in very real and concrete and practical ways. The challenge for each of us is, through the grace and the light of the Holy Spirit, to determine what those loaves and fishes are that we have, to discover what areas of our lives, what talents, what resources, what time we have held on to because of our own sense that it is lacking and insignificant. It is learning to become like that young boy, so that we also may give up every area of our lives to the Lord as a child's offering. It is being enabled to humble ourselves and approach our faith in childlike trust so that we might believe that even the small, the weak, the insignificant things of our lives may be given as a child's offering to the Lord. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" Who has despised the day of small things? Have we despised the small things of our lives? St. Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 27, writes, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." You see, our Lord is all about using the small and the weak and the insignificant things of this life to make manifest his wondrous and miraculous glory. It is simply a matter of being willing to make a child's offering, to continually live in a spirit of Eucharistic thanksgiving with a heart of childlike faith and belief and trust. St. Mark the Ascetic said, "You should continually and unceasingly call to mind all the blessings which God in his love has bestowed on you in the past and still bestows for the salvation of your soul. You must not let forgetfulness of evil or laziness make you grow unmindful of these many and great blessings, and so pass the rest of your life uselessly and ungratefully." You see, that's the picture of a life that is not led Eucharistically. Even in our own tiny little mission here of St. John the Baptist, perched on the hill in the little village of Lewistown, Maryland, it's barely a speck on the map. With so limited resources, God is able to do a mighty work in revealing his kingdom in very concrete and tangible ways. If each of us in diligence and faith will simply is simply willing to know what loaves and fishes we possess and are willing with a heart of trust and thanksgiving to make a child's offering. Presbyteria Catherine Baker, the wife of Father Matthew Baker, who was tragically killed, as we know, in a car accident 3 weeks ago, leaving behind his widow and six young children. She posted this a day or so ago on the funding website that was set up. She writes, "Yesterday morning early, I was working at the computer in my husband's office when I heard little feet running toward me. My four-year-old ran in the room and looked around and then looked at me happy and expectant. Did Daddy rise from the dead? And I responded, as I have several mornings since the accident, "No, not today, but he will. It will seem to take a long time to us, but he will." Completely undaunted, he smiles and saunters out. I suddenly realize that each morning he has been looking for the resurrection of his father. The story of Christ's resurrection is so real to him. He sees it as something that could happen any day and probably in the morning. I suppose we could smile at his immaturity, but I wonder if that is not the better attitude to have. Maybe this is what Christ meant when he said that we must become like a little child. It is a child's offering. A touching and an encouraging disposition of a childlike faith and trust. Even in the midst of terrible tragedies and inadequacies of life, may we be so moved that even as the cross lies before us, even as we face our own struggles and challenges and injustices. Even as we abide in our sense of weakness and inadequacies, that we may offer ourselves in simple trust and faith in our Lord, who is able to accomplish all things, who is able to be victorious even over death and the grave. For we will behold the wondrous things that he has accomplished, especially in the empty tomb to which we travel. May we indeed, with the loaves and fishes that we have been given, make the child's offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.